2016, the great year. Whatever your faith in your heart can believe, you can have it in 2016. Whatever.
It was a great year indeed. And here is what your partnership accomplished in 2016. Over 116 million people have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior through Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the ministries we support around the world. Thank you, partners, for helping to reach the lost and win souls for Jesus. Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We have a prayer line and prayer ministers on staff who are trained in the Word of God to pray in faith with you. Last year, over 2 million requests were prayed over. The Believer's Voice of Victory TV broadcast airs around the world on 283 TV stations and on Roku to 99,250 subscribers, broadcasting 569 hours each week, sharing the gospel and ministering the word to 3.5 billion potential viewers worldwide. Last year, partners and friends downloaded over 4.8 million podcasts of the broadcast for learning on the go. Launched on July 1st, 2015, the Believer's Voice of Victory Network is committed to deliver the uncompromised Word of God 24 hours a day, broadcasting programs from 20 anointed ministries. 62% of the cost of airtime is your seed sown into these powerful ministries, supporting their call to preach and teach the Word of the living God. Starting with 14 million potential viewers on Dish Channel 265, BVOVN now has over 1.1 billion potential viewers with more ways to watch. The Believer's Voice of Victory Network is total immersion in God's Word. A highlight of last year's presidential election was the live coverage of the America Stands 2016 broadcast. As a Christian alternative to networks and cable stations, the program turned out to be one of KCM's most watched broadcasts of 2016. Share the good news of the Word. Over 380,000 copies of our Believer's Voice of Victory magazine are distributed free each month into 198 countries over four continents. It's available in six languages and can also be read online on our website 24/7. KCM.org is your study center and go-to place for word-based teaching. Last year, there were over 10 million visits to our website, and partners strengthened their faith using our online learning center, Believer's Academy, with over 150 video lessons. Over 149,000 believers joined our online partner community, and as a result, created 488 community groups. Partners and friends stay connected with Kenneth Copeland Ministries through our social media. Over 1.4 million Facebook fans, more than 270,000 Twitter followers, over 6.2 million YouTube views, and 1.2 million blog visits. With over 118,000 event registrations and online connections, partners and friends from all countries all over the world joined us last year at our KCM events. Believers received over 100 total hours of dynamic teaching within a spirit-charged atmosphere of faith. One word from God can truly change your life forever. 2016 has indeed been the great year at Eagle Mountain International Church. Under the leadership of Pastors George and Terry Pearsons, the outpourings and visitations from the Lord are rising higher and higher, changing lives from the adult services to the 1440 students and throughout Super Kid Academy. The glory of God that has been prophesied is finally here at the revival capital of the world. Every month for the past 30 years, Kenneth Copeland has written a personal letter to his partners. Born out of prayer, each monthly partner letter is from his heart and sent to over 412,000 partners worldwide. In 2016, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has sent out teaching resources of over 2.2 million CDs and DVDs, 1.6 million books, and 2.6 million digital downloads. 10% of every dollar received into KCM is sown into other ministries around the world. Your giving is helping support orphanages, feed the hungry, fly medical supplies, reach out to those in prison, and bring love and hope to families across the globe. Celebrating its fifth year, Reaction Tour, an outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, founded by Courtney Copeland, has won over 1,192 souls, ministered to over 4,300 children in nine camps. They've served over 53,220 meals and given away more than 2,375 pieces of sports equipment. KCM USA adds a monthly average of 1,057 prison inmates to the mailing list. In 2016, KCM Prison Outreach gave over 51,000 Bible study materials free of charge to the inmates. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Last year, KCM sent out 18,001 salvation packages. Kenneth Copeland Ministries Evangelism Training helped train over 836 people to reach the lost and win souls for Jesus. When the storms hit the homes of our partners, you helped reach out to over 140,000 partners and friends. KCM's disaster relief team traveled to 55 cities, providing cash, groceries, school supplies, Christmas gifts, and more to families in recovery. Reaching across the globe, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has offices in Canada, Australia, Africa, Europe, Germany, Ukraine, and Latin America, ministering to a partner base outside the United States of more than 100,000 partners through 7 international offices worldwide. Thank you, partners, for standing with us to spread the gospel through every available voice. It's because of you that lives are changed all over the world for eternity.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And like I said, hey, it's all up. It's up. It's up. Glory to God. Great. I don't have words to express to you how very much we appreciate our partners in all this. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. You ready to get in the Word? That was kind of weak. Thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about the anointing exchange. Let's begin with Genesis chapter 12. Now you understand, or it's important to understand, that you go all the way back to Adam, beginning with the blessing. That blessing, the blessing of the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, when you read an English translation translated by Jewish translators, you will read, "In the beginning, the Blessed One created the heavens and the earth." The Blessed One. That blessing. Another term for it is God crowned him with his glory. Now here's, I want you to see this mentally and be, meditate on it, think about it. The prophet said when he saw God, he was a fire, the glory. He was a fire from his loins up and from his loins down. You couldn't see him. All you could see was that fire. Amen. Adam was crowned with that glory, and he nor his wife had ever seen their physical bodies. They were in his image and in his likeness. They were a fire from their loins up to their loins down. When they first saw that physical body, it was ugly compared to what they had seen, because they had seen God and all that fire. My, my, the glory. Hallelujah. Now, the blessing of the Lord. We have these things separated so that we can study them, like spirit, soul, and body. Well, this is an integrated system. You really can't tell where one begins and the other ends, because it's an integrated system. Amen. And we have it separated. The only place you're going to find this is in the Bible. Because most people don't know there's three. Most of them think it's just body and soul. And they get them all mixed up. Body, mind, and soul. Body, spirit, mind. And most people today think the soul and the spirit are the same. Well, it couldn't be. In the book of Hebrews, very plainly, it says dividing asunder the spirit and the soul. Amen. We can't divide them asunder if they're the same thing. Right. Yeah. And then the Apostle Paul said, I pray God make you holy, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, spirit and soul and body. So then the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and emotions. That's the intellectual part of the human man, mankind. With the spirit man, that's the real you and the real me, the inner man, what Peter called the hidden man of the heart. Now, this is the reason the Bible uses the word man. It's not talking about gender, because the spirit, the spirit being has no gender. Women are sons of God. Amen. Brother, I don't understand that. Well, don't be bugged with it, okay? You think we're going to know one another when we get to heaven? You ain't going to turn into something else. You're going to look a whole lot better than you do now. Amen. Well, yeah, if you know me now, you know me then. If you don't know me now, we have to be introduced. Amen. This, I said these things too. We need to realize all of this healing, power of the name of Jesus, all of these things are all incorporated. How you doing, Anthony? Good to see you, brother. How are you? All incorporated in the blessing of the Lord. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, part of the blessing. The healing anointing, part of the blessing. Any anointing, part of the blessing. It was the power of the blessing that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, yeah. What happened when he was ascending? In the book of Luke, he blessed them. What did he say? Be
multiply. How? By going into all the world and preaching this gospel to every creature. What gospel? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord is the anointing that heals. If you put it, see, the blessing is in Genesis. That's pretty near the front. Huh? And it's in the book of Genesis where wealth is called glory. First mention. The law of first mention. Anyway, are you with me now? Okay. Genesis chapter 12. We're talking about the anointing exchange now. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation and I will bless thee. I'll give you something that'll help you renew your mind. When the Lord first just unwrapped what I just told you and taught you about the blessing. When he first unwrapped that to me and put together the blessing of the Lord all the way through, it's the same thing he said to Noah. It's all the way through the whole thing. Jesus, the blessed one. Amen. Amen. And every time you see the word blessed, boy, your spiritual ears ought to perk up. Yes, you remember he took little children and blessed them? Wouldn't I like to know how those kids turned out? Whoa. Yeah, amen. See what I mean? So, the Lord instructed me to do this in order to renew my mind. I'm not talking about a blessing. I'm talking about the blessing. And every born again child of God has the blessing of Abraham on the inside of them.
Yes. Amen.
And the blessing of Abraham is the same blessing that was on Adam.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't preach me happy.
Praise God.
This is one of my favorite subjects of the whole Bible. The Lord said, in order to renew your mind of that, every time you write the word bless, blessing, blessed, he said, write it, print it in all capital letters to mark you. Well, there are people that get texts from me and they get a letter from me and the word blessed be capitalized. Well, they don't know why I did it. I did it for my sake, not theirs. But it'll draw your attention to it. It is the blessing. Say this, I'm not blessed.
Because I'm rich.
I'm rich
because
I'm blessed.
I'm not blessed because I'm healed.
I'm healed because I'm blessed.
I'm the blessed of the Lord.
Now let me encourage you to do something else. The religious word blessed is blessed. Blessed are they. No, blessed are they.
Yes, 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 yes.
Don't make a religious word out of it. It's not a religious word. It's a real word. Glory to God. Now you know what the Beatitudes are all about. He's talking about the blessing of the Lord. That's interesting. Amen.
Yes.
All right. I will make of thee, verse 2, a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. There's the blessing exchange. You see it?
Yes.
You see it? It wasn't just for Abram, later became Abraham. It wasn't just for Abraham to be blessed. But I will bless those that bless you. Now, let me reword this a little bit. He said, I will make you a blessing. I will bless those that partner with you in that blessing of others. Those that help you bless, I'll bless them with the same blessings on you. It's that blessing exchange. And I will curse him that curseth thee. All right, let me reread verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will stop him that tries to stop you. I'll stop him. Why? In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All right. Now, right quickly, go to the book of Galatians, 3rd chapter. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, read this word by word. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, look, I want you to notice the blessing of the Lord and being redeemed from the curse is the gospel. And God preached it to him through the word. Dear Lord, glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. It's the exchange. Now then, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. The anointing exchange, the blessing exchange, the cross of Jesus Christ was a place of exchange. He was cast out. The very presence of God, so that we would be welcomed there.
Thank you.
Can you see it?
Amen.
At the cross. Amen. We no longer identify with Adam's failure.
Amen.
We identify
with the resurrection of Jesus. We're not the old man anymore. We're a new creature. And it happened right there on that cross. Glory be to God. The great exchange. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, you know, Brother Copeland, but I'm so unworthy. No, that's identifying with the fallen man. Don't identify with the first Adam. Identify with the second and last Adam. Adam was made in the image of God. We've been recreated and made in the image of Jesus. We're joint heirs with him. Amen. We're firstborn. We have firstborn rights. He's called the firstborn from the dead. The first begotten of many brethren. Hey, the joy of the Lord get on you over that. If you can't shout and laugh over that, you need to relight your fire. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, Matthew chapter 10, are you there? I want you to look. Now, we're looking at that exchange, right? Verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I believe it's the Amplified Sound Translation. It says, he that receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Well, in July of 1977, at Brother Hagin's camp meeting, right at the close of the service. In fact, he had begun to pray that, oh Father, I pray that if there be a man, woman, boy, or girl in this place that doesn't know you, reveal to them that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And he stopped right in the middle of it. He said, yeah, I understand that. And then Ken Copeland. Oh, man, I was one of the day speakers at camp meeting that year, and they had the speakers up on the platform there in Williams Auditorium. I was sitting right behind him. And the word of the Lord came to me. Get on your knees. What? Get on your knees. Lord, no. I don't want to call attention away from you. Get on your knees now. Man, I just bounced out of that chair on my knees. I mean, you know, a nanny second. Is it nanny? No, it's nano. A nanosecond, right? Right after my knees touched the floor, he said, Ken Copeland. And he turned around. I thought, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And you're going to have to get over into that healing ministry a little faster than you thought. And you're not getting out ahead of God. You're keeping step with God. And whether you want to or not, you're going to operate in the office of the prophet. And he went ahead and came and laid hands on me and separated me to that office and so forth. So, I had heard from the Lord months before. When I went in the ministry, I didn't know there's anything but pastors and evangelists. That's all the That's all the Southern Baptist Church recognized. And I didn't get anything out of church much anyway, but I got that. I remember as a little boy, we had a visiting evangelist, and he prayed. He got down on one knee on the platform. Oh, mercy. In the Baptist church. And you know, oh my goodness, this is in the 40s. You just don't do that. And I thought, he ain't going to get but half his prayer answered. He only got on one knee. Don't ask me where I got that. The devil, I guess. Anyway, the Lord's, and of course I had learned better than that, except, you know, I knew I wasn't called a pastor. There wasn't any question in my mind about that. And I did begin, my spiritual father in those days was an evangelist. And then there are other offices added to his ministry. But I just stepped into that with evangelism on my heart and mind. And it was before the Lord added the teaching ministry, which happened in Houston a couple of years later. I was praying one morning in a meeting we were having up out in West Texas. And the Lord said, the prophet's ministry is coming. I said, Lord. Now, that's fine. I'll receive that. I'll walk in it. But I'm not announcing it. I'm not going to stand up there and tell everybody I'm a prophet. No, no. You just don't even think about it. I'm not going to do that. So, Brother Hagin called me out that night. And later on that night, I'm just worshiping and praising the God, praising the Lord, and just worshiping Him. He said, how's that for your announcement? And notice how, listen, brother, I never said anything to Brother Hagin about that. He said, whether you want to or not.
Yes, amen.
See, he settled it in the minds of all the Baptists that were there.
That's right. Amen.
And I thought about that later. I thought, He's so good to me. And He's so smart. Hallelujah. And right now it just makes me fall in love with Him all over again. Just think about that. Whether you want to or not. I mean, He just fixed it. Amen. Hallelujah. He that receiveth a prophet, because he's a prophet, will receive the prophet's reward. Amen. Now that the prophet's reward, oh my goodness, we could spend all morning on that, but I'm going to touch on it in two different ways. And I'll show it to you more from the book of Philippians here in a moment. Remember, we're talking about this exchange, right? I heard Brother Hagin discussing this and talking about it, that, you know, back in the days of the early days of his ministry, there were times that particularly you go into a church and you're there for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. Well, they'd stay in the home of the pastor. And back in the early days of this ministry, I did that. I was seriously blessed Well, all except one or two. But I remember a certain prophet's quarters, and it was just like the one in the Old Testament. A table and a candle. Jesus. And in that, can I tell that without being? Okay. The sweet pastor's wife there sat right on the front row. I'm teaching. And I'd look everywhere but there and just smile. And then after we got through, she'd correct my message. Well, now here's what Brother Copeland meant to say. I didn't mean to say that. I said exactly what I meant. I just sat over there and, just smile. But let me tell you something. That meeting, the meeting itself was tough. But I'm driving out of the parking lot of that meeting. Brother Copeland, Brother Copeland, Brother Copeland. Fella ran up to my car. I rolled the window down. I said, yeah. He said, oh, he said, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the meeting. And he told me about some, other places, full gospel businessmen, where he'd been in and where I spoke and all that. And he said, I just had something I wanted to give you. I said, thank you, sir. And he had just a little sack full of books. And I just took them and put them in the back seat of the car. And then a few days later, I was preaching a teaching. And this is when the teaching anointing came on me. And I was prepared for 3 days. It went 21. Couldn't close that meeting. I ran out of stuff to preach. And I thought, well, I can just go back over the same thing. But I just had a sound in my spirit. I'm just praying and praying in the spirit. And I heard, go look in the back seat of the car. What's the back seat of the car? I don't need the back seat of the car. I need a message for tonight. I prayed another 30 or 40 minutes. Go look in the back seat of the car. So I went, and there was that sack full of books. The first one. The Father and His Family by E.W. Kenyon. Man. There was his whole set in that one sack. I'd put up with this any day of the week to get that E.W. Kenyon line. Oh, my. And add that to what I was already learning from Brother Hagin. Amen. Where was I when I got into this? All right. See, the prophet, because he is a prophet. I noticed it. Brother Hagin talked about this, and I've noticed it myself. When you're well accepted, and people just treat you like family, Well, not in some people's family, but good family. You understand? You know what I'm talking about. And I just experienced it here just a few days ago. It's just absolutely wonderful. And I was sitting with some people that have been partners with me for years. And this is the first time I'd ever met them. And I was in the home of one of our very, very, very close partners. And in fact, went hunting on his ranch, which I go there every year. Well, they came, and we're just sitting around the table there, and the word of the Lord just kept flowing up on the inside of me, just flowing up on the inside of me. And I didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." I just began to work it into the conversation, saying to them what I was hearing the Lord say. And she turned around, and she said, "Would you pray for us?" Yeah. And began to pray, and the word of the Lord came. It was a member of their family. I mean, we just had Jesus sitting there at the table with us. And it was just so flowing and flowing, a lot easier than it is in a meeting. What is that? Prophet's reward. Because they don't function in the office of the prophet. But they accepted me as a prophet and had for 30 years or so, whatever it was. Well, my goodness, it just so easy. That's part of the prophet's reward. Another thing is walking in the blessing on the prophet's level. And I'll show you that in just a moment. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 4. Most of you already, probably all of you already know what we're going to read here. In the fourth chapter, and look at the 14th verse, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Now, he started his ministry after he came back from the wilderness in Capernaum. His home was in Capernaum. His headquarters was Capernaum. And his home was right there on the shore of the Galilee. Now you remember when he had Peter push his boat back just a little bit, he could see that dock area from his house in Capernaum. Oh, this is, you want me to give you a thrill? The scripture, you remember this? The scripture said, he saw them rowing and toiling, and he walked on the water, and he got in the boat, and the boat was immediately at the shore. Yes. Now go back and read that, and you'll see they were headed home. They had been ministering literally night and day. And here they're stuck out there in that storm at nighttime. And it literally says they were going to Capernaum. I don't know how many times over 50 years I've read this. Over and over and over and over and over again. And here, just a couple of months ago, I was reading that, and I noticed that they were headed to Capernaum. And it immediately was at the shore. And the Lord said to me, I'm talking about Jesus, said to me, I wanted to get home and sleep in my own bed. Well, of course he ain't got time to roll for another 2 or 3 hours to get there, to get this thing to the house. Amen. Get this thing home. Just like tomorrow night after the service, I'm headed to the house, sister. Yes, sir. Yeah. And thanks to you and Jesus, I fly the fastest civilian airplane on the planet. It ain't as fast as that, but, you know, It's better than poking around slow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know how he felt. Don't sit in this boat all night long. Let's go home. Oh, I don't know. That just did something for me. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him throughout the region round about. He started there in Capernaum and look at that. He said unto them in the 23rd verse, you'll surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Do it here at home. All right. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues. Make yourself a little note, and he taught this same message that he's teaching here. He taught this same message in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was in those other synagogues. Did you get that? As his custom was in those other synagogues, in their synagogues, he on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, now notice, he found the place. He specifically turned to this, what we call the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to preach recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many pastors we have in here this morning? Pastors, now listen, you know this, but I want to refresh your mind about it. You can, for instance, you can fast and pray and have your prayer team fast and pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can fast and pray, and it won't happen until you start preaching on it. Because you know, there's not any faith in there yet for it. And you begin to preach on it, and you begin to teach on receiving, and you have people give testimonies of receiving, and before you know it, I'm in that, and people will start receiving the baptism while they're doing the dishes. People, hey, because there's faith for it. Get it on your mind. You get it in your heart. You get it in your mouth. You start talking about it. You had a lot of questions before, but now, hey, you know, I didn't ever notice that in the book of Luke, Jesus said, how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Ghost to those that ask him. That's the requirement. Be born again and ask. But then you take it by faith, not feelings. You don't have to feel anything. You trust him with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding. You can't talk without making some noise. So you just open your mouth and make noise. Lord, Brother Copeland, that's stupid. Not for babies, it's not. Amen. Amen. Not for babies. Amen. You will never, somebody says, we don't believe in that healing in our church. You will never be bothered
with it.
You have to start preaching it and teaching it and go through the scriptures. And it starts happening. Amen. Same thing's true with financial prosperity.
That's right.
As long as people think they're supposed to be broke, guess what? And you could have the best job in the state and still not have money enough. Your money's nuts. It goes, things get crazy and you just get deeper in the hole. Why? Because you said, man, it looks like I just get deeper in the hole. But biblical economics are extremely important and they are extremely detailed. You will not find any Jew that believes they're supposed to be poor. Gentiles made that up.
Yes.
We made it up. It is not in the Bible. It's a misunderstanding of scriptures and just made it up. Oh, I wish I had time to dig around in that. Tonight's coming, you know. Today's the day of increase. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say, this is the title of his message. Didn't say he said, said he began to say. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They had never heard grace preached before. They'd never heard the blessing preached before. They heard the law and the curse. They said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me, this proverb, physician, heal thyself, whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in that country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. If you receive a prophet because he is a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. Well, this is absolutely true where Jesus, he called himself a prophet. He ministered as a prophet and teacher. He did more teaching than anything else. Well, he's also called the apostle. Hebrews 3:1. He's called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Amen. Well, of course, he's the ultimate apostle, prophet, evangelist, and he is the great shepherd, the pastor of all. Pastors, teacher. Oh, my. He said to me some years ago, he said, Kenneth, don't think little of the teaching ministry. He said, remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And he said, I did more of that than anything else. What do you do? Preach, teach, and heal.
Amen.
You preach the anointing, then you teach on it and stir up faith, and people are ready to receive.
Amen.
If you believed he was anointed, you received. You received. Now, I want to touch this just for a moment. If we have time this morning, I'm going to show you some clips from Reinhard Bonnke's Farewell Crusade in Africa, his last one. And he was attacked with cancer. some months ago. He called and I was blessed to pray with him. Went through surgery, a lot of chemo. Now this man has preached to more people personally than anybody in history. This is the only man in our times that has had over 1 million people get born again. And this is not just evangelical, we think so. No, in his meetings, you have to fill out the little book to the satisfaction of counselors. How do you have counselors for 1 million people? Well, you have 250,000 counselors. That's the way you do it. But anyway, someone said to me, I just don't get it. I don't get it. This man has brought millions of people into the kingdom and he gets cancer. Healing is not a reward. Healing isn't a reward. Now, why did Brother Reinhardt? Well, the main reason was he wouldn't take care of himself. Preaching all hours of the night and for years and years and years and years. And I talked to a man that's very close to him, which is also a man that I know quite well. And I said, what about his diet? He said, it is atrocious. Well, I know if I mentioned something about sugar and he just changed the subject. Huh? Did you know cancer, a mutant cell, thrives on sugar?
Wow.
And somebody needs to hear this. A mutant cell, which is a malignant cell. A normal cell can get the sugar it needs out of protein.
Wow.
A mutant cell cannot. You can starve a cancer cell absolutely to death by not letting it get any sugar.
Wow.
This is big. This is big right now in the medical community. I'm doing 10 broadcasts with Dr. Colbert here in January, and it'll come out there at the first of the year. And he's written a new book, and he's dedicated to this ministry and to our partners. Praise God. On the keto zone. And this is what the people that, the part of the medical community that care about what you eat.
Yes.
This is where they're headed. Well, Brother Bonnke, sweetest guy, powerful man of God. 77 years old. And of course, we're standing strong with him. Amen. But I wanted you to see that let me back up here another step. In the first 10 to 12 years of this ministry, I didn't have any sins. And I preached 7 days a week and like killed myself. And it wasn't all that the Lord assigned me that was exhausting me and draining the life out of me. It's all the stuff I added to it.
Yes.
And he got on me over that. He said stuff comes up while you're preaching, and the anointing is strong. Oh yeah. It'd be so strong on me, at 7:29, I'm standing over there behind the curtain and hanging on to the curtain, keep from falling over. And 7:30, you take that first step, and the anointing of God come, you're strong, preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours, strong. And while you're under that, you see things you think need to be doing, and you just tell, here's what we're going to do.
Yep.
And he said, you mistook the anointing for physical strength. And you commit yourself under that anointing that there's no way you could physically carry it out, but you had your word out and you had to do it. It liked to physically kill me.
Praise God. Wow. Amen.
For additional CDs right there. But see, this is all part of it. I mean, the scripture says that Jesus and his staff, they didn't even have time to eat. The people wouldn't even let them rest or eat. And he called them aside. He said, no, come on. See, that anointing, that's supernatural power. And there's a difference in being anointed outside the ministry, which every person in here has anointing available to you to do what God's assigned you to do. More of it really than you realize. Because you ought to be doing your job supernaturally the same way I do this job supernaturally. But now, I'm using my faith. Right now, I'm using the anointing on purpose. And I've already preached things here this morning, and a lot of things here this morning that never occurred to me while I was studying for this. Some of it I didn't get until I was back behind the curtain and I grabbed a clean sheet of paper and started. And that's when I got the title, The Anointing Exchange. Well, I'm expending spiritual force out of my spirit. My life force is going into this. Brother Bonnke did that. He's done it for pushing 40 years. We've been partners with him for 35 of that. Amen. He's 77. He's used his life force up. You have to replace it. If you have a 100-watt generator and you've got 10-watt bulbs on that generator, every bulb is bright. You put the 11th bulb on there, they all dim. You put number 12, 13, 14, and 15, that generator starts loading up, and you keep putting them on there, it'll load up and quit. It can't run anymore. All the bulbs go out then. Now that's the principle we're dealing with. We're using up spiritual power. You have to take the time to get back in the Word and feed your faith. I made the mistake. I'm preaching day and night. I'm reading the word and all of that. I'm not feeding myself. I wasn't believing I received my healing. I was looking for stuff to teach and preach you. To you. We're strong in that. My faith was strong in that. Strong for it. It was very weak in receiving healing in my own body. I did that until my body began to break down. And I won't go into all the stuff that happened, but I just kept pushing it, I began to get into some pain, and the pain got worse and worse. And it got to where that my SI joints, sacroiliac joints, got to where they were hurting me so bad, I'd walk out on the platform, no pain. Step off the platform, man. And then in 2004, I had a disc just explode right after the Southwest Believers Convention. Taking my shower Sunday morning after it's over Saturday night. And it was a wonderful meeting, but there was a lot of problems in it that really
really, really rough stuff that happened right before the convention and things like that. And I bent over in the shower and it exploded and knocked me in the floor. Man. So, Dr. Colbert's working on me. Dr. Weider's working on me. And, I mean, they got the laser going on me. And, of course, you know, everybody else want to operate on me. No, thank you. I'm not going there. You can do that if you want to, but no. No, no, no. And and I inquired of the Lord about it, and he jumped on me again. He said, you're not feeding your faith where your physical body is concerned. You're living on the anointing. You're not even searching the scripture, feeding your own spirit. Okay. So I'm sitting out on the porch. I got that left leg propped up on another chair. And God, that boy, a sciatic nerve, boy, thing is burning and hurting. So I wrapped a heating pad around it and took the sash off of my robe and tied, and I took the second heating pad and tied it on there and turned the heat up as high as it goes, so one of them hurt worse than the other. And it kind of balanced one another out. And I'd start shouting and praising the name of Jesus, and it'd die down. And I'd say, oh, glory to God. And here he'd come back. Well, I said, yeah, I got to get in the Word. You know, the Lord got on me here. I got to get in the Word. I got to get in the Word. So, you know, I got my legs up here like this, and I'm in the Word. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the Word. He said, what's those notes you're making? Preaching notes. He said, I told you. He said, see, your faith is strong for preaching. I see things in the Word. I want to preach them. Glory to God. I get all excited about it. I don't want to read healing scriptures. So, I, you know, had to change that. Now, I said all that to, there needs to be, let me get over here in front of these preachers. This concept of the difference between the force of faith and the force of the anointing. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, by natural food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, faith cometh by hearing every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you don't feed it, if you don't feed it in the area where you need it, you can have faith for one thing strong and weak on something else. You can be strong on healing and not know anything about financial prosperity. Amen. Anyway, now let's get back here to where we were. Let's look in Acts chapter 10. Now remember, Jesus preached this message here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. And look at the 34th verse. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, this is when he was at Cornelius' house. This is 10 years after the day of Pentecost. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now listen to this 36th verse. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ,
He is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Jesus preached that same sermon everywhere he went. He started it with the Spirit of the Lord, with Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. Now preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the great jubilee. Supernatural debt cancellation is what he was preaching on the jubilee. And he is the jubilee. Brother Roberts preached a sermon, and of course I preached it. Amen. That Jesus, the great jubilee, he's preaching that message, and he's saying, poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. I'm here. I'm your jubilee. Glory to God. Amen. Sick man, you don't have to be sick anymore. I'm here. Amen. Now, this is tantamount to what he was preaching to everybody. He was preaching to all of them. I'm here. Yes. The anointing. That's the reason. It would have been so wonderful had they translated the Greek word Christ. We're coming up to Christ Mass. Christ Mass. Mass celebration. Christ anointed. That's the reason the angels got so excited. Man, the war's over. Goodwill toward men.
Amen.
The sacrifice is here and you can't get him out.
Praise God.
Heaven says the war is over between God and heaven and earth.
Amen.
He's here. The anointed one is here. The anointing, the yoke destroying, burden removing power of Almighty God. The power of the blessing on the blessed one.
Praise God.
Celebrate it.
Yes.
That's what Christmas means. Ha! That'll change your thinking. He preached that. Now notice, here's what he preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Boy, that's enough to shout about in this church this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 10. And look at this in verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day. What did he say? This day, this scripture, that's the day he's talking about.
Okay.
It shall come to pass in that day, his, the devil's, burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing doesn't break the yoke, it destroys it. It's amazing to me that the Hebrew word there also can be translated corruption, corrode. Now, the yoke that is being referred to there in other scripture is called the yoke of iron. What destroys iron? You can break it and weld it back together. You rust it out and there ain't nothing left. It's no longer fit for the devil's use. It's destroyed. It's what corrosion does to aluminum. That's the reason, boy, in an airplane, this is deadly. When corrosion gets on aluminum, the metal just turns to white powder. And I've seen, I'm thinking about one airplane right now. Gorgeous airplane. Absolutely gorgeous. And back in the 90s, we had one of these airplanes, the Lockheed Jetstar. But there was areas of that airplane that were really subject to corrosion. You really had to stay on top of them. And this one, it was just gorgeous airplane. Beautiful thing, inside and out. Worthless. Sold it for parts. Corrosion. Well, it was no longer fit for use. The anointing, the yoke shall be corroded, destroyed. No longer fit for the devil's use because of the anointing. Now, chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, here's anointings. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Those anointings belong to you and me. The anointings of Jesus. He listed them. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's an anointing. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's an anointing. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captive. That's anointing. He sent me to preach recovery of sight to the blind. That's a Jesus anointing. Yes. Not only recovery of sight to the blind, but there's an anointing to preach it.
Praise God.
To preach that message.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Now,
glory.
A priest, an hour and 10.5 minutes to get to this. Philippians chapter 1. Back a number of years ago. We were in Brother Robert's home, and he said, "I'll meet you in my office in the morning." He said, "I'm going to be writing my partner letter in the morning," and he said, "I'd like you to help me with it." I said, "Yes, sir." So we sat down there. At his desk, he's sitting, if his desk's facing this way, I was sitting right here, and he's turned sideways in his swivel chair, and he's standing there, he's sitting there to me, and he's about as far as me to you. You could imagine just the length of a desk there. He had his Bible in his hand, and he said, "What is this?" I said, "It's the Word of God." He said, "What is this?" Well, now I know I'm had because I said, "It's the Bible." He said, "Kenneth, what is this?" And before I could come up with some other dumb answer, he shoveled past that Bible at me and hit me right in the stomach with it, hard. And he said, "Letters!" And they're just as anointed today as they were the day they were written.
Amen.
This great apostle is writing his partners and his churches letters. Say it, letters, I said.
Amen.
Now, I already had the partners concept, because I learned it the first time I ever heard him preach a partner message, and I was driving the car, and this was my first time being in a partner service.
I sat there with my mouth all open the whole time. And he's going through these things. And I didn't have any money. I wanted to be a partner so bad I could taste it. And I'm sitting there. I had that little, they passed out those little wooden pencils to fill out the envelopes, the little church size envelopes. And I thought, well, they have that pen. That, I started to tear a button off my shirt. I know I got this pencil. So I stuck that pencil in there. For $10 a month, I'm a partner. Now, you've heard me tell this story, but I like it. I'm going to tell it again. And so, and I jumped up. He's already headed out. I got to get to the car. And I started out, and this woman said, hey, hey, you. I turned around. Yeah, you. The Lord been where wanting me this whole meeting to give you $10. I said, give it here, lady. And I grabbed that $10, and I ran over there and caught the usher, got my envelope, put my pencil in my pocket, and stuck that $10 back in there. Glory to God. And really the thing that hit me the strongest was two things. One, that he was going to pray for me every day. To have Oral Roberts pray for me every day. Well, I'd already seen this because when he would come back to the invalid room, when I was ministering in the invalid room, they told me, they said, you're going to have from 5 to about 7 minutes or so between the time he prays for the people that have answered the invitation until he gets into that room where you are. Well, I wondered what he's doing there for 5 to 7 minutes, and I found out this. Back in those days, you remember what microfiche was? For you kids that don't know, that's not a strange kind of fish. No, back there then, it was film that had where you could reduce the size, you could put a whole newspaper on microfiche and then put it in a reader where it would blow it up. He had all of his partners' names on microfiche. And he had a little booth made. It had black curtain around it, and he had a little table in there. And he would go in that little booth and he would lay his hands on his partners while he's under that anointing. I wanted in on that big time. Hallelujah. Well, I went home. I was so excited. And I told Gloria, I said, We're partners with Oral Roberts for $10 a month. Boy, her face fell. She said, Kenneth, where are we ever going to get $10 a month? She hadn't heard the message. I said, sit down, girl. I preached it just as close as I could get it, you know. He's going to pray for us every day. Yeah. And I said, Gloria, we can have Oral Roberts anointing for $10 a month. And we did. And it happened. It came on me in Detroit. We were in the meeting there with Brother Roberts in Detroit. And the thing was Cobo Hall in Detroit. Huge meeting. And They in a morning service, you had to go to a morning service. You couldn't get a car to get in that prayer line unless you were in that morning service. You're going to hear the word preached on healing, and you're going to hear the word preached on the Holy Ghost, and everybody in there is going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We just had thousands of people get baptized in the Holy Ghost back there then. And Brother Deweese, my boss, came to me and he said, Kenneth, we're never going to get all these people prayed for. He said, I'm going to set you up a prayer line this morning. I said, wonderful. Then we had them. Well, see, Brother Roberts had laid his hands on me. That's when the anointing of this ministry came on me in 66. I'm ministering under his ministry. His anointing is on me. Not only that, now I'm a partner. So, the first woman we walked up to, she's this ugly, purple, red looking, nasty looking thing, just awful, came out of her hair. I don't know where it started. Came down, almost had her eye covered all the way down here on her cheek like this. The moment I saw it, in the name of Jesus, and the moment I touched her, it disappeared.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, my mother and my dad had come to that meeting, and she was standing right behind me with her hands in my back praying in the spirit. And we all jumped. I went, and the anointing was so powerful that it's like what Brother Robert said. He said faith has to come to a climax. Well, it happened, and that anointing came. It kind of sucked the air out of the room, you know, when that thing disappeared. And Mama said, "Where'd that go?" I said, "I don't know." But the Lord taught me later. He said, "It dematerialized." He said, I spoke and all matter came into existence. He said, now my anointing can take matter out of existence. It just no longer existed. It's gone. And of course, the demon that was attached to it was gone too, of course. Amen. But I wanted you to see the anointing exchange. You see it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. He said to me, "Kenneth, there's coming a time when the tent anointing is coming back big time." And I heard from the Lord in 2014, it's back. It's back big time. That tent anointing is back. Now then, Philippians chapter 1, are you there? Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy for your fellowship. That Greek word is partnership. Now, look in the 4th chapter in the 15th verse. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. That's the same word there. No church became partners with me or partnered with me as concerning giving and receiving. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is M-E-E-T or right, R-I-G-H-T, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my anointing, my grace, my anointing. This church began as a convict church. The pastor was the jailer in that prison
that the earthquake struck in Philippi.
Amen.
Years earlier.
Amen.
Now this begins to make some sense. No wonder he said, in my bonds. Now all of them that were original members that came out of jail at night, and particularly the pastor, whoa, he knew what happened that night.
Yes.
He saw it. He was there.
Praise God.
He experienced it.
Yes.
Now, let me hear again. I'm boy, you guys must be prayed up this morning. I mean, if you're pulling things out of me. The curse that came on the earth when Adam sinned came out of Adam. He was the God of this world. But when he committed high treason and he turned this thing over to Satan, it didn't come out of Satan. It came out of Adam. What used to be the blessing became the curse.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. Praise God. Amen.
That's how powerful the human spirit is.
Glory to God. Yes. Amen.
The anointing that night, midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, but that's not all they did. They prayed. They're in stocks. Their backs are beat. They prayed. Good to pray. Sang songs. Good to sing songs. And they praised God at midnight. And the prisoners heard them. This is not something, oh God, we just praise you anyhow. But no. They're shouting their praise and they're praising and they're worshiping Jesus. And the power of that anointing came up out of those two apostles and broke that place up.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
It was not a natural earthquake. All the doors opened, but a natural earthquake could open all the doors, but a natural earthquake is not going to unlock everybody's chains.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And a natural earthquake that did, I guarantee you that bunch would have been gone like a covey of quail. But the anointing was on that prison so nobody could move.
Yes,
they couldn't move. Now, I want to clue you in on something else. Go back and read it for yourself. The jailer had to call for a light. But you go back and read it. There was a moment there that he must have been able to see. That's all I'm going to tell you about it. You go back and hunt it up for yourself. Amen. The glory was there.
Amen.
The glory was there. Now, I can't prove this. You can't prove it didn't. So, I believe for a moment there, while they were praising and worshiping, I believe that the glory was there.
Amen.
And then the thing began to shake. And then the lights went out. And then he had to get a light. Anyway, look it up yourself. Both in my bonds, that anointing, and in the defense, not defending himself,
But in the defense of the gospel, there's an anointing there. To stand against persecution and all that goes with it, particularly back there in those days. Them people will hurt you. And confirmation of the gospel. Turn with me to the book of Mark, last chapter. Don't lose your place there in the book of Philippians. Mark 16, 15 through 20. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that, what did he say? Confirmation of the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs, supernatural signs, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All of those supernatural signs. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. Now notice the word them is italicized. It shouldn't be there. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs. These signs following. Amen. So confirmation of the gospel where this apostle is concerned is signs and wonders. Did he have them?
Yes.
Of course he had them. Glory to God. Yeah, they're in his life. They're in his ministry. Praise God. They're in the power of the gospel which he preached. A young man, crippled from his mother's womb, heard Paul preach. If you back up a few verses, it said, and there they preached the gospel. Amen. Heard Paul preach. What did he hear? He heard the gospel. Amen. Paul, perceiving that he had faith, how'd he get it? Hearing the gospel. Said to the man, stand up on your feet. And the man, what did he do?
Amen.
He leaped to his feet. That was a sign, right? Was that a wonder or not?
Yes.
These people were his partner. Remember the anointing exchange? Now this is what this brings me back now to. You receive a prophet because he is a prophet. You receive the prophet's reward.
Amen.
Look, go back over there to that fourth chapter where we were there just a moment ago. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church partnered with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, because I desire fruit that may abound to your heavenly account. This is important. We're going to get into that. Pastor George will get into it this afternoon. I'm going to talk about it tonight. But I have all and abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing. Notice how this is worded. My God. He could have said, but God shall supply all your need. He could have said, your God shall supply all your need. No, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory.
Let's say you were a carpenter in those days, or possibly a shoemaker, or what? You're part of that church. You're not part of the ministry. Born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he is saying, you partners have become partakers of my anointing. And my anointing, my needs are met on the level of an apostle.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, now, a prophet, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, there ain't nothing special about anybody except we're called. But that the anointings that, I'll just use myself as an example. The anointings in my life are job equipment. They're things that I need. I need this anointing. There are, when I was functioning just on the anointing of the teacher, and I was anointing it, delicious. I'm telling you, when that anointing came on me, I thought, this is the most wonderful thing. I just love it. I love it. I want to just teach all night long, and sometimes I did. And it was just wonderful. But then, when I was separated under the office of the prophet, as it began to develop, I noticed an anointing on the teaching that was different from just the teacher alone. It was on the prophetic level. And there, it's not really easy to explain, but I noticed over time, well, I was telling you about some of it today, that I'll be teaching and I'm receiving revelation of it while I'm teaching it.
Wow.
And it,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons people in this kind of ministry, we can teach for hours and don't feel like about 15, 20 minutes.
Amen.
And sometimes the anointing is there and you can't tell it either, but other times it isn't. It's just because I like it. And I had to learn the difference between the two and shut my mouth somewhere. Like somebody said, they taught me how to start and nobody taught me how to quit. Anyway. Praise God. When you got people like you, I mean, hallelujah. I noticed this first time I preached in China, and a young man that had been extremely, extremely poor, and somebody had smuggled our information in there, and he got a hold of the laws of prosperity. And he got to reading that and broke out of. He was born and raised in a 3-meter square room. That's where his dad was born and raised and died. And the whole a meter is just a little bit over a yard. 3 square meters. Live and die in that room. But he got a hold of it and broke out. So he wanted glory in me to come and teach, because he put the word out all over China I just told him, I got it to the leaders and just told them, very important meeting, be here on these days. He said, if I'd have said Gloria and Kenneth are going to be here, he said, we'd all got arrested. He said, we'd had so many people, we couldn't have put them anywhere. And we didn't have but about 65 people, but they represented over 1 million people.
Wow.
The underground church. Well, I got up that morning in his of the boardroom of his office, and I taught for a little over an hour.
And I said, well, I'll close this with this. And they said, huh? I said, I'll close with this. They said, what's the matter? I said, well, I've preached over an hour. That's right. Have we offended you? I said, no, sit down. And I preached and preached and Gloria got up and preached and preached and preached. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. My dear Father, thank you. Take faith advantage of those anointings. Don't let it slip your mind. This one always blesses me. Well, there's two, I'll tell you. One woman standing on a street corner at signal light, and when the light changed, she stepped off the corner and twisted her ankle. She said it popped like a gun. She knew it was broken. She just locked her, went down. She said, oh, Jesus, the Copelands pray for me that I be made strong, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. I receive their anointing. I receive their healing anointing. I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive it. By the time she got across the street, her foot was healed. I was in Venezuela a couple of years ago, and I think I told this in your church, Ignacio. I think I did. Anyway,
October.
I was in Venezuela, and I had come back to the hotel, and I'm walking through the hotel. Señor Copeland, hermano Copeland. Un momento, por favor. I said, yeah. He said, I'm your partner. And he said, my little boy, mi hijo, he got very, very sick. I don't know. I don't know what to do. They tell me he's going to die. But he said, Jesus, Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland, they pray for me today. And I receive their anointing. I receive the healing anointing of this ministry. I'm your partner. And he said, I want to thank you. And he grabbed me by the hand and he hugged my hand up. He said, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Jesus, heal my baby. Jesus, heal my baby. Now see, he took advantage of that partnership. I'm guilty of it myself. I repent, Father. We haven't taken advantage of this like we should.
Amen. Yes.
You're in some store somewhere and it's time to witness to somebody. You don't go in your own boldness.
Amen. That's right.
You stop and think. What would Gloria do right here? She'd say, get over it. She'd say, take it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. What would Brother Copeland do here? Would he just kind of back out of the way? No, I wouldn't. I'd listen to the Lord and do whatever he said to do. I was having a meeting in a casino in Las Vegas. And one of the local churches sued me, but anyway. They did, because I didn't ask them if I could come to their town. Anyway, this is years ago. Those days are pretty well over. Well, they're not over, but they don't bug me anymore like they used to. And I'm walking through the casino, and there's this nice-looking couple coming in front of me. I'm in a casino, man. And the Lord said, I have a word for them. I said, okay. So and I stopped and I said, excuse me, please. The Lord said to me that he had a word for me to share with you. May I share it? Sure. Well, now, most people wouldn't have done that. Now, I want you to see what I'd have missed if I'd have just walked on by. I shared it with them. And they looked like, you know, they said, well, thank you. I said, you're welcome. And I thought, well, you know, the word doesn't return void. I just went on with them. I took about 3 steps, and there's this guy over there trying to hold the wall up. Excuse me. I said, yeah. I heard what you said. You pray for me? I said, sure. Well, I started praying. No, let's go in here. Well, the men's room was right there, so we went in there. He prayed for me. So I laid hands on him. I want you to know, I didn't get finished with my prayer, and he was
so
completely sober.
Amen.
Standing there with his hands up, he said, I want to thank you, sir. He said, I'm a backslid Pentecostal preacher. And prayed in tongues with me. And we stood there and hugged one another. He said, I want to thank you with all of my heart. Because what I had said, I don't even remember what I said to that other couple. But whatever I said to them hit him right in the gut. See what I'd have missed? He'd have stayed drunk. You have the same anointing available to you. You can do it anywhere, anytime. You can walk up to anybody the Lord leads you to in a grocery store and say, I'm impressed to pray with you. And you better watch out. The word of knowledge will start working.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. And you'll say, someone has a pain right here. Someone in this grocery store is having problem with their kidney. We're having healing at the checkout counter, so come on up. Now, I've never done that, but the young man I'm very close acquainted with, Todd White, he's done that. And it was so embarrassing to his wife, she wouldn't go in the grocery store with him. But his daughter would. And he'd get the microphone. You know, the attention Walmart customers. He'd get the microphone and he'd say, I believe someone in here is having a problem with their hearing. I'll lay hands on you if you would like. And just get a prayer line going right there in the grocery store. He walked up to an Israeli soldier in Jerusalem, witnessed to the both of them, laid hands on them, and one of them got healed.
Amen.
I saw the video of this. They were videoing him there in the city of Jerusalem, and he saw these two guys. He just walked over there and started talking to them. The one of them that got healed was later that day killed by a terrorist. Aren't you glad Todd White was there? You can do that. You don't have to do it in your own anointing. Pastor, you don't have to do it in the pastor's anointing. You have record. You see that number that was on the screen today? We're soul brokers. We tithe this ministry. We look for absolutely the best investment into souls that we can find. And we sow into that because you get credit for every soul that was won.
Thank you, Lord.
There is a record beside your name that said you were responsible, You're a partner to this ministry. You are responsible for over 114 million people coming into the kingdom of God. See, this partnership has, not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, just another word for raising money. But that's not my business. And raising money is not wrong. If you do it right, if you put pressure on people, you're way out of line. But that's not wrong at all. But oh, my. There's so much more to partnership. The money part of it is the bottom in importance. It is important. It's important to you financially. I'm not trying to get money from you. I'm trying to get money to you. But now, if you wind up without anything, that's fine, you're still my partner. But call and let us get busy praying so you can start sowing again. And don't despise small seed. I don't have but $10 this month, and my commitment was so, you know, somebody would, hey, come on. What if a million of you decided you can't send the $10?
Amen. That's right. Praise God.
What if 200,000 of you sent a dollar?
Amen.
See, we're in this. The amount of the money doesn't determine the level of the anointing.
Amen.
This is done in the heart.
Yes. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. In the name of Jesus.